Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22 and reading through verse 36. This is God's Word. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, John was also baptizing at Anon near Salim because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one God whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. 3 points we'll look at and then the main point, okay? Don't think I've forgotten the main point. We'll get there. At the end of the text, actually. The first thing we see in this passage is the jealousy of John's disciples. They come to him and they're upset. And the reason they're upset is because Jesus, who was with John, they'd seen him with John. John had baptized him. He's John's younger cousin. And now he and his disciples, some of whom had been John's disciples, have now gone off to another area and Jesus' disciples are baptizing people. Here they say that Jesus was baptizing, but we read later that it was his disciples, not actually Jesus. They're upset. Business is not growing the way that it was. People are still coming. I mean, it's not as if lots of folks aren't coming. People were constantly coming, verse 23, to be baptized. Okay? But now there's competition. Now there's somebody else baptizing. And from the perspective of John's followers, everyone is going to him. This is terrible. What are we going to do? We've got to rebrand or something. How are we gonna fix this? It's interesting that they had missed John's message. I mean, here they are, so loyal to John, so concerned about people going to Jesus instead of to John. They were still following John, but they'd ignored what John was saying about why he was here. The reason he was calling people to repentance was to prepare the way for the Lord. And John responds to them by saying, you can testify, I told you that he was the one who was coming. I'm not the one. He's the one. So they missed what John was saying, even as they were desperately, passionately loyal to John. I'm always interested in the things people say that I've said that I never said. I have, sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, oh, Pastor, I will never forget what you said. That was so helpful to me. And I say, well, thank you. What are you referring to specifically? And they say something I didn't say. And I don't really want to correct them since they're so grateful for it. But I didn't say that, okay? And there are other people who, of course, come to me and they're very upset with something that I said. And I say, I'm sorry, could you tell me what it was that I said that upset you? And they say, well, you said da-da-da-da-da. And I say, actually, no, that's not what I said. I realize it's possible sometimes for me to misspeak or say something I didn't mean to say. But that's one of the nice things about having recordings. I can go back and check. And no, in fact, I didn't say what this person thinks I said. Now, why do I bring that up? Because that was going on with John's followers. This is an ongoing thing where people hear what they want to hear, or they hear something that isn't happening, and they have this emotional reaction to it, positive or negative. One of the most embarrassing public displays of supposedly Christian religion that I've seen was a number of years ago when Judge Moore over in Alabama lost a court case, and the federal authorities came to remove a monument at the courthouse where he presided, and it was a monument that had the Ten Commandments on it. And they were taking it away as a violation of the separation of church and state, which is totally unconstitutional, totally moronic. The federal judge involved was totally wrong. But, you know, that's idiocy on the part of a person who's anti-God. Okay? Just read the Constitution. But why are you bringing that up? Well, because the embarrassing part was not the stupid federal judge, and I'm being kind when I say stupid, the stupid federal judge who had the monument taken away. What was embarrassing was the people who were trying to protect the monument, the zenith of which was one man who put his arms on it and said to the people coming to remove it, get your hands off my God. Okay, buddy, let's back up just a few inches and read what the monument says. You're not to make a graven image of any God. If your God is a stone monument, if your God is the Ten Commandments, you need to get saved and worship the God who's God. Sometimes people are extremely religious and zealous about their faith, and they don't even know what the faith is. They don't know what it is. John's disciples were upset that Jesus is becoming more prominent than John. And John's message was, after me, one is coming who's greater than I am because he was before me. John, speaking by the Holy Spirit, is pointing people to Jesus. And his disciples are saying, we're with you, we're with you. Hey, they're going over there after him. Yeah. So we see the jealousy of John's disciples who had missed his message, but then we see the humble response of John. His response to this is beautiful. To this, John replied, verse 27, a man can receive only what has been given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. I'm the best man, okay? I'm the bridegroom's friend. But what I want as his friend is for him to get the bride. That's what it's supposed to be about. This is a reason to celebrate. Verse 30. This capsulizes John's response, and it's beautiful. He must become greater, and I must become less. That's what it looks like as we grow spiritually. More and more and more and more of Jesus. Less and less and less of us. Jesus didn't come so that you could become center of attention. Jesus came so that you would be rescued from hell and made a part of God's family. And that is absolutely magnificent and thrilling.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So John's response was a response of humility. Again, continuing to point to Jesus. But then we see the truth of Jesus' uniqueness and supremacy. Look at verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. That's kind of repetition, isn't it? Look again at verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. It ends, the one who comes from heaven is above all. Jesus is above all. Jesus is above all. There's not some second or kind of like him. No, he's it. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Now that's a generalization. Obviously some people did, but generally not. If you look back in chapter 1 of John's gospel, he says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, he gave the power to become the children of God. So when he says here, no one accepts his testimony, he's talking about the percentages. Jesus described it this way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. If you think that following Jesus is going to be popular if we do it right, okay? Because it's just, you know, it's such a wonderful thing. If we would just present Christianity in a positive way instead of all this negativity about don't do this and don't do that, if we just make it positive, you know, have an abundant life, your best life now. It can be wonderful. It can be happy. I'm so joyful now that I've become a Christian. If we just present it that way, kind of go around with cheek implants and tell everybody that, you know, it's just great. It's wonderful. Wouldn't you like to be like me? I'm happy all the time. Still not going to work. Why? Because the human heart in its natural state is at enmity against God. What does that mean? It means we are naturally enemies of God. Because God hates us? No, because we hate him. I don't hate God. Well, what would you say would be a good description of the way that people respond to God? God made us. God owns everything. God gives us everything we've got. Everything we have comes from him. And then God says, oh, let's start in the garden. You can eat the fruit of any of the trees, just don't eat that one. What do? We eat that one. What message does that send? If you invited someone into your home and said, listen, man, make yourself at home here. You can help yourself to anything in the refrigerator. The one thing that I ask is don't light that candle, okay? That candle is really special, and I don't want it burned. Okay. And then what do? Oh, such a neat candle. I wonder what it would burn like. That's the one thing I asked you not to do. It started with that sin in the garden. But you and I haven't just done one thing, have we? I had a little girl who came to me wanting to be baptized at our church in Atlanta. And so I was taking her through the evangelism explosion presentation and just conversationally talking with her about, you know, why we need a Savior. And that is that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so I said to her, how many times a day would you say that you sin? I mean, what would you want to tell the preacher if you're a little kid? She said, I don't know. And I said, I'm not asking for an exact answer. Just give me a guess. She said, maybe once. I said, okay, let's go with that number. And I said, now, in my case, it's more than once a day, typically. But I said, let's suppose that in a given day, you only do one thing you're not supposed to do. Okay? But you also fail to do something else that you know you should do. And once during the day, you kind of cherish a sinful attitude. Okay? So that's a sin of commission, doing something you know you shouldn't. It's a sin of omission, leaving out something you know you should do. And a sin of the spirit, having a bad attitude. Just three sins a day. How many of you would feel like you had a pretty good day if it was three sins that day? Okay? The rest of you are not paying attention to your life. Okay? So, if you had just three sins a day, for most of us that would be a pretty good day. Pretty good day. At the end, and this isn't original with me, this is from Evangelism Explosion, D. James Kennedy, credit where credit is due. At the end of the day, you've sinned three times. 365 days in a year. In a year, you've sinned over 1,000 times, right? If they're all good days, you've sinned over 1,000 times in a year. If you live an average life expectancy of 70-something, when you stand before the judge, you're going to try and make the case that you really do love him and you're trying to do what's best because, after all, you've only sinned somewhere north of 70,000 times. Is that a good argument in court? It's not going to work. See, we all fall short of the glory of God. So here's the thing. Jesus looks at us and says, come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm meek and lowly. Come. And the universal response of unregenerate people is to say, ah, no, no, I don't want to be yoked with him. I want to be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. I want to have it my way. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be the one who decides. Well, guess what? That's the Broadway. That's the road that most people are on. They don't think of it in those terms, but that is in fact what people say in their heart. The response to God is no. No one accepts his testimony. Verse 33, the man who has accepted it is certified that God is truthful. See, some people do believe. And the one who believes is the one who trusts God, who says that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So here we come to the main point. Only those who trust in Jesus with obedient faith escape God's wrath. Now those who trust him, obey him. The NIV here says, whoever rejects the Son will not see life. The NASB, New American Standard, which is a more literal translation, says, whoever does not obey. And the reason is because that's the thrust of those words. It's not enough to say, I believe, if it's just an intellectual faith. If you trust Jesus, it manifests itself in obedience. You do what he says. So, Pastor, what does that mean? That if I still sometimes sin, that means I don't really trust Jesus and that I'm not a Christian and therefore I'm under God's wrath. No. No, that's not what it means. But if you live in sin, read 1 John, if you live in sin, you just embrace the sin instead of the cross, then yeah, you're not a Christian. Don't kid yourself. Christians still sin sometimes, but it's not because we have to. It's not because we don't have a choice. Prior to being born again, we just made the wrong choice every time, practically. I mean, we were slaves to sin, the Bible says. We were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. But when you put your trust in Christ, he gives you the power so that now you can say no to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. You now have the power to say yes to God and no to sin. But where's your trust? That's what makes the difference. Is your trust in Jesus or is it in your best efforts? Trust in the Lord. Those who trust in him with obedient faith have eternal life. And those who do not receive him by faith, the wrath of God remains on them. May God have mercy on us all.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.